now. Chris, have I got you back?
Hey, how are you, Jeff?
I'm doing very well, thank you. This is Seven Generations Radio, and I'm going to read my disclaimer again. Any statements or positions taken on Seven Generations Radio are mine alone or of my guests and do not represent Shepherd University or not taken in an official capacity on behalf of the university. So with that, Chris, welcome. I know you've been working for a number of years in the area of protecting our clean water, which is one of our, if not our most important resource. And I'd like to hear from you as to what you've been up to, what important is going on, what do our listeners need to know about what is going on in the state with respect to fracking and its effect on our clean water.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, first of all.
My pleasure.
Great to see people like you broadcasting and fostering a conversation that we need to have in every community in the state. Been working with Headwaters Defense and Friends of Water, my group. My other project is Citizens Climate Lobby, and that is a great statewide organization. We're looking for new chapters. If anyone's interested in going to D.C. to lobby for a carbon fee and dividend, we'd be glad to have you. It's a great opportunity for college students, and the movement is building in terms of educating people about climate justice. And one thing that I'd like to talk about, we deal with things at Friends of Water both sort of on a long-term project. We have several campaigns going at once, and then we have also sort of a reactionary part of the day that we spend on issues that come up day to day. So I'll talk first about what I've been working on in a broad sense, and then we'll talk about what we were dealing with yesterday. Basically, Fayette County passed the first historic ban / ordinance stopping injection wells from dumping radioactive waste in their community. And they tried to pass a similar measure in Morgantown, and they were beaten court by EQT. And the same gas companies challenging the ordinance in Fayette County based on their property rights. The issue with that is our riparian rights, in terms of our right to water, supersedes that in court. So they don't really have the right to dump any toxic contaminant. And we have a major hole in the law that I'd like to talk about. Tom Rule and Mary Rahal and a lot of people have worked for years to sort of put this argument together, but there's sort of a dirty secret mirror is what we call it. There's a hole in the law. And the DEP is supposed to be testing for radium-226 and radium-228. They're not testing for it. The DHHR is supposed to test for it. They are not testing for it, basically because the DEP is already on the case and they don't know how to work together on it. So, as far as that goes, there's a double exemption. States say no regs will be more strict than federal regulations, and federal regulations don't classify this stuff as a hazardous toxic waste. Yet it's radioactive, it causes cancer, it's a problem.
Why is that? Why is that that the federal is so lax in that area? Do you have any clue on that?
There are holes in every piece of water legislation. I've been talking to Bernie Sanders' office about that this week. There's a West Virginian working there named Jake Riott, who also used to work for the AIC Act, lobbying in mountaintop removal. And basically, there are holes in every piece of legislation. A lot of it gets down to the Halliburton loophole, where the nature of the fracking fluid is proprietary, and that means they don't have to disclose what's in it. And the laws are written in their favor so that there are loopholes that allow them to regularly and easily dispose of the waste. There was also some uproar in the last few weeks over reports of it being dumped in Estill County, Kentucky, fracking waste from Fairmont Brine Company. And that company, and there's one in Beckley, that are using natural well gas brine to de-ice roads. And it shouldn't be sold as de-icer. It has radium in it. Nobody's testing for that. Now, one thing is that the DHHR doesn't understand how to implement radium testing. They don't know where their authority lies. They don't understand how to implement working, and they're working with the industry to figure that out. Of course, that's not in the industry's interest to do that. So that's going pretty slow. So what we're talking about doing is trying to come up with some sort of legislation that will classify this as hazardous waste, and then to ban it, outlaw it, or to stop it from being dumped in our communities like the people of New York had the good sense to do.
Would that have to come from the federal level because of this? Not, you can't be more restrictive than the federal?
Well, we're taking an all of the above approach. So you look at RCRA, R-C-R-A, basically that's the federal regulation, and they say that that states are basically responsible, and then the municipalities are just sort of suburbs of the state. So the state is ultimately responsible for the water supply. So what we need to do, what we've been talking about in terms of citizen enforcement, is coming up with legislation to force the DHHR to either oversee or work with the DEP and actually do comprehensive radium-226 and radium-228 testing. That natural well gas brine that they talk about, it's not benign as they describe it. It has radium-226 and radium-228. In fact, the levels are just as high as you would find in produced frack waste or produced well water, the stuff that comes back up from the injection wells. So it's a problem. You know, either way, it's laden with heavy dissolved solids and radium.
Do we get independent testing? Is there testing being done that's outside of the state auspices, either supported by nonprofits or citizens or whatever, that can test for these and see what are the levels that we are concerned about to raise the awareness and also to make the case that we need continuing testing and regulation?
We do have some studies to lean on. That's the good news. Dr. Abner Vengash did a study in Wolf Creek with USGS. I think they were limited. They were only allowed to visit the site twice. They were a little frustrated with that, and then the DEP is using that as evidence that it's not a sound scientific study, yet he found radium-226, radium-228. Dr. Susan Nagel also recently completed a peer-reviewed scientific study showing negative health impacts in terms of reproductive concerns and endocrine disruptors that are present in Wolf Creek and Fayette County. And so that, coupled with elevated rates of cancer, that was enough evidence for the county prosecutor and the county commission, Matt Wender and company, to work together and write a tough ordinance, a ban that's rooted in state code with concessions for oil and gas industry already there that would help to protect the community. And that's the thing. We feel very unheard. We had a DEP hearing recently here in Raleigh County. Within 48 hours of the ban passing in Fayette County, they opened up a public comment period to dump this natural well gas brine in an injection well in Raleigh County. And we don't want any part of it. I live probably 7 miles from the site, and I'm not very happy about it. They can't prove beyond a reasonable doubt that that stuff won't migrate from the through the Weir Sandstone into our drinking water and to our groundwater. And it's a cause for concern. So we had a public hearing. Dr. Amjad, who's running for mayor in Beckley, also went down with me. And she and both members of the press who showed up both felt like the DEP was rude. They were a little antagonistic. And they weren't very helpful. They shut us down at 6:50. The hearing was supposed to run from 6 to 8. That means that people who were at work, who planned on coming late, might not be able to walk in late. The whole thing was a little tough. They had people sort of stand with their back to the crowd and lean into this little table mic to make a public comment, hence preventing the actual public comment being made to the public. You know what I mean? The whole thing was a little backward. They had trouble making eye contact with us. They had trouble answering questions. And they also were a little difficult to work with, and it's frustrating. They only gave us 48 hours notice before the hearing, and they came back at me saying they're not required by law to tell us any sooner than that they did that as a courtesy, but that's not very courteous to give someone that 48 hours heads up. We would have had a better opportunity had they told us a few weeks out to actually get the community to engage.
How about this being the political season? What's going on with the politicians in terms of them picking up this as a cause and appearing at the hearings and speaking up on these issues?
Well, that's an interesting question. So Dr. Amjad was the first person that's running for any office that showed up at a hearing with me. And Jeff Kessler said in terms of a Facebook comment that that would not fly under his administration. And terms of the difficulty I had with the DEP in the last week or two. Booth Goodwin came right out of the gate strong, saying that he thought that people who poison the water should go to jail, period. And I can get behind that statement. Now, Friends of Water, sort of like the smart statement you made at the beginning of the interview, on behalf of the university, we don't get behind specific candidates. We don't endorse anyone. But what we do is we try to educate nonpartisan clean water voters on the issues, the candidates, and we also try to hold our elected officials accountable. And we advocate for our shared basic human right to a safe, clean water supply.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the voters have taken up this? Do they have a high level of interest in this cause?
I think so. We reached, you know, over 40,000 people on Facebook alone just this week. And we've had a lot of engagement. We've had a lot of boots on the ground. We've gotten over 650 signatures against this toxic waste injection well here in Raleigh County. In Fayette County, we helped Headwaters Defense gather over 5,000. We were a small part of that effort, but we were out on the streets petitioning for a long time on that issue. And I find that clean water is a nonpartisan issue that can unite us. It's a subject that everyone should be able to get behind and discuss together. You know, it's not political, it's a moral issue.
Right. I can understand that. And certainly that must be coming to the fore in some of the areas where the water has been contaminated, particularly you think about situations like Flint and also the issues that we've had in the lower part of the state with the Elk River and so forth, contamination of water. So I think people probably are getting a sense of alert about this. It can happen in their communities too. And people that draw, whether it's from a municipal source or coming from their private wells, they got to be concerned about what's coming out of the ground, because I don't know, you know, to what extent an individual homeowner has the resources to get their water tested for all the different potential contaminants. But I think that's a real issue. And also, even with the municipalities, are they testing for the right things?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's something that I had a little bit of a issue with the DEP in discussing the other night. We can't trust the labs around here. I mean, they just busted one for faking samples and results for a coal company. And the DEP came back with, well, we're the ones that turned them in. Okay, well, fair enough. But that just goes to show you that you can't really blindly trust a lab without actually knowing the scientists and who you're dealing with in terms of the testing. So that's cause for concern, you know. There's a great... I wanted to, not to throw a sidebar in here, but tonight there's a great forum happening in Lewisburg. It's sponsored by West Virginia Rivers Coalition, Greenbrier Valley Visitor Center, and local partners are hosting a safe public forum, safe water public forum at the Greenbrier Valley Visitor Center in Lewisburg from 5 to 7.
That's today, or when is that today?
Today.
Okay.
And I also wanted to talk real quickly about something that came to light yesterday. There are some problems. We've got a leaking injection well in Ritchie County, and they are testing for high levels of radium there. That's obviously cause for concern. And there was also a big problem in containing sediment and on this site. Hang on, I'm looking for it. I apologize. I'm trying to pull up some scientific data here for you.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Chris Hale, Friends of Water. He's been dealing with fracking issues and its impact on our West Virginia water. While you're looking for that, when you get back, I'd like to ask you about this whole question of local power versus state. In some cases, apparently, the courts have ruled in favor of the local communities. In other cases, they have not. Are you still with me?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that's the thing. We're taking an all-of-the-above approach. We've got to work on the federal level to fix these loopholes. And we also need to keep an eye on statewide policy. That's where the responsibility lies. But in terms of these issues with the injection wells, we also have to focus on community efforts. This is a huge problem in Ritchie County, Fayette County, Raleigh County, Doddridge County. A lot of people are having problems. Yesterday, we had a citizen report from a watershed organization about a problem at Middle Island Creek where there are no sediment ponds, obvious, or BMPs, and the DEP says they don't know where the sediment is coming from, yet there's a lot of sediment coming off of this site at Purgatory Run, and we've got a link if people tune in and check out Friends of Water on Facebook. They can see a Google Earth tour of Purgatory Run, Middle Island Creek, and it shows you the big barren spot where they're putting in injection well or two or three and pipeline, and looks like they're not able to control the sediment, and that's often a problem in terms of stream contamination that can wipe out a whole ecosystem.
Now, when you say sediment, could you define what you mean by sediment?
Sure. It's a problem with mountaintop removal sites. That's the essential reason that the KD2 site was shut down in Charleston by the Kanawha Forest Coalition. Whenever you do a large earth-moving project, it's very hard to contain the sediment to where it won't affect the systems when you dig or blast or sort of destroy a mountaintop. And that's what they've done here. If you look at the Google Earth tour of Purgatory Run, you'll see basically a mountaintop removal site on a hill here that's been flattened out. And if you imagine all that dirt and rock, where does it go? Well, it used to go into valley fills, which would basically fill up whatever stream was down in the valley. And if you keep up that practice, then we're going to mess up a lot of our waterways, and that's already happened in many parts of the state. So
Chris,
we're trying to raise awareness about that, trying to get people to think about mountaintop removal and the effect that fracking might have on our drinking water.
Thank you. We've got a caller calling in. Hello, caller. This is WSHC on the air.
Hey, Joe. It's Tony Russo. How are you?
Great, Tony. How are you?
Great. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Tony.
We haven't met yet, but I want to get in touch with you and meet with you. You had mentioned about Flint, and I'm very interested in connecting the dots in situations like Flint, situations like Raleigh County. The parallels are just so crystal clear to me that we have companies that come in and they extract whatever they're extracting out of the earth, and they hire some people and give them a good paycheck for a while, so there's some affinity to that group. And then just as quickly, they leave, and there are no paychecks left, and the environment is ruined for people. And I think there are clear parallels between what GM and DuPont did in Flint and what these fracking companies and the coal companies have done in West Virginia.
Agreed. That's a really good parallel. We've been working with some folks in Flint to raise awareness together. We did a press conference in Charleston, orchestrated by West Virginia Rivers Coalition and CAG and us and a bunch of other groups. But we had over 40 community grassroots together to take a stand at the Capitol in a press conference on clean water and taking a stand with Flint, standing in solidarity with the people there. And Stephen Skinner and one other delegate spoke quickly at the beginning, but the rest of the legislature skipped out and went and had lunch with the Oil and Gas Caucus. And that was rather discouraging. That kind of shows you who's pulling the strings in terms of the puppet show up at the Capitol.
Well, absolutely. It's hard, you know, it's hard to turn down a good paycheck. It's hard to turn down those taxing income streams. But one of the things that I've learned in this whole process is that we exonerate these companies from the damage that they've done to the environment. So, for example, when you and I and the rest of the American taxpayers bailed out GM to the tune of $85 billion, in the fine print was a clause that exonerated GM for any pollution that they may have ever caused in Flint, Detroit, and anywhere else in the country. And I'm sure that, you know, people are trying to line up and do the same thing with these fracking companies and with the coal companies. It's really important that if they're going to do this damage to the environment, the least we could do is hold them accountable and have some reserves put aside for cleanup. So at some point, let's get together. Let's talk about how we can continue. I'm heading back out to Flint in a couple of weeks, and I'd like to talk to you before then.
Yes, send me a message with your contact information to that Facebook page, Friends of Water, and I'd love to talk with you.
Terrific. Joe, thank you for a great show. I appreciate this.
Thank you very much, Tony. Thanks for calling in.
Take care.
Okay, and by the way, Chris, I'm going to drop his call, and if inadvertently you get dropped, call me right back, please.
Sure.
Okay, I think we successfully accomplished that drop, so you're back.
I'm here.
I guess, you know, you've really elucidated a number of problems, and I'm wondering, you know, talk a little bit about solutions. Okay, what do people need to do to turn the corner on this kind of thing? I mean, we're up against a lot. There are a lot of loopholes in the laws that protect large corporations. Apparently, a lot of our state entities seem to be kind of on the side of the corporations when you expect them, like DEP, to be on your side on environmental issues. So we're up against a lot, and what's your advice, recommendation for people? How do we move forward and get control of our quality of our water systems?
Well, the first thing we have to do is organize on the ground. I'm a huge fan of many of the nonprofits in West Virginia, but I think that a lot of them aren't really organizing on the ground. And so what happens is that turns into what they call the NIMBY movement, which is not in my backyard, which is a good thing. Communities that get together, you know, that's where it starts. We all have a lot of power when we stand up together, and rarely do we do that. So let's organize county by county. Send us a message. That's the other thing that really helps. You know, when this is the information age, so sharing information with people is huge. That's one way that we educate everyone that is in our community about what's going on. This all started, this Purgatory Run focus started with a tweet I got from a guy named Dave just a week or so ago. And then yesterday we got some scientific data, and basically they're testing positive for 12.29 PPI of radium-226 and 228 coming out of a spring in the hill in Ritchie County where this leaking well is, and that's Friends of the Hughes River doing that independent water testing. You know, so that's huge. Taking a stand in your community and keeping an eye on what's going on, and then sharing that information with other groups that share your concern, that's a great place to start. If you've got a picture of something sketchy going on with a creek or a waterway near your house, send us a picture and a detailed message with exact coordinates of what's going on. Number two, call the DEP spill line. Let's make them investigate more. Another thing.
Say that again. DEP what? What deep?
The DEP, the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection.
Right.
And another thing is that I'd like to get everyone to contact the DHHR and ask them who's testing for radium. That's going to be a huge issue. We're going to be pressing for radium testing this year. We were successful in helping West Virginia Mineral Owners Coalition stopping the forced pooling bill. That was a big win this session, and we got over 11,000 signatures against right to work with MoveOn.org. That was huge. And unfortunately, Bill Cole pushed that one through the Friday before the labor protest when we were going to drop the signatures. But that goes to show you that the people power is there. We've just got to get together on the same platform and push some issues. Another great place for that is Our Children, Our Future. You can vote twice. They've got a great community platform where you can vote on the pillars of their campaigns for the upcoming legislative session. For example, I voted for them to focus on education and jobs, a fair workplace, jobs for coal families, learning curves made straight in terms of taking obstacles out of teachers' way, five, literacy, higher education without students facing debt, making our communities small business friendly and encouraging people to buy local, and then also bringing back civics, art, and physical education. We've got to educate our kids.
Okay, great advice. Thank you, Chris. It's been really informative and helpful. Hopefully I can get you on to come again, and we'll keep following up on these issues. Clean water is such an important issue. It's not going to go away. The situation is just going to get worse the longer we neglect that situation. So thank you, Chris. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
My pleasure. Take care. Have a good one.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye.